You are listening to Juno Afternoon. Good to have you here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. It is a good thing Rory Watt, the manager for the City and Borough of Juneau, enjoys problem solving, because even in the best of times, problems and challenges can be moving targets, none more so than during a pandemic. I recently talked with Rory Watt and started off our conversation by asking him what his New Year's resolution was last January.
Going into 2021, it would have been to be a little more stable, a little less focused on COVID, a little more focused on community projects and advancing the community and getting back to the way we were in 2019. That would have been my hope.
Well, COVID in 2021 had a kind of a curious arc. It looked like we were headed towards better times, and then it sharply spiked. And we have since been on what I call a COVID coaster. I'm just curious, during the second year of the pandemic, how much got pushed back? How much city business wound up on the back burner because of the constant need to address this?
I think everything slowed down a little bit. And with COVID, there's so much uncertainty and multitasking, and we asked people to assume different roles. And so they were unable to spend much time on their core duties. And I don't think we made as much progress as we would have liked to, but we still keep advancing the ball. And I think we were able to do lots of things, and we should be happy about that.
Well, from a financial standpoint, COVID continued for the second year in a row to hit city finances, though not as bad as in the first year when you had no cruise ship traffic at all. Then this past year, we had sort of a late season. But overall, the dollars and cents still put the city way behind what it normally is.
Certainly, we fell behind in sales tax collection, you know, but we did collect more than we predicted. So we predicted the news to be bad, but the actual news was a little bit better than we predicted. So it wasn't as bad. We also got a lot of assistance from the state and federal governments in terms of financial aid. And so in the end, I think we actually ended up okay financial-wise. The biggest hit really continues to be on the businesses and where they're going to be moving forward. I don't anticipate federal aid going forward, even if COVID continues on.
So how did you fill the gaps last year in the budget? Primarily with federal grants?
Yeah. So we had several different kinds of grant funds that came through the federal government. It's really kind of a constantly moving target. People kind of think of the budget as one point in time, but really we adopt the budget and then we keep working on it because the information just keeps changing.
It sounds like there were a few silver linings in last year's clouds.
Yeah, I would say federal grants was the biggest, but then we also over-collected revenues compared to what we predicted. So property tax actually came in a lot stronger. Houses really sold this year for high prices. So we've got increased property taxes, which is about half our budget. And our sales tax came in stronger than we predicted, even though we predicted to under-collect. The amount of federal money that came in was really quite massive, whether it came in directly to CBJ or directly to businesses or entities in the community like Search and Central Council. A lot of federal money came into Juneau and Alaska.
Normally, what the city generates, about $10 million in sales tax from visitors?
Probably something like that. So like in a normal year, our 5% sales tax gets us around $50 million. In cruise ship passengers, I think we predict around 20%. It's really actually hard to figure out where the sales tax comes from, you know, because it's all of these individual buying decisions. But, you know, this summer we had a lot of independent travelers. People just got on airplanes and showed up. So even on days that there weren't cruise ships, we did actually see quite a interesting visitation. And one of the things that came in stronger was hotel bed tax. Independent travelers did come and book hotel rooms.
So you saw different pots of money grow and others decrease. But normally in a year, how much do you take in sales taxes?
In a year, it's about $50 million, $53, $55 million.
How about passenger fees? Do you know the numbers on that?
So we had this summer a little over 100,000 cruise ship passengers. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, we would have been predicting 1.3 million. We collect local passenger fees and get remittances from the state. So on our local fees of $8, instead of, you know, around 8 or 10 million, we maybe collected around a million. So we were low on passenger fees at the local level, but we also didn't spend money. We also didn't provide a lot of services that we normally provide, things like crossing guards and visitor information, extra bathroom cleaning and whatnot. So we down on revenue, but down in expenditure as well. The legislature did appropriate replacement state passenger fees for 2 years. So we did receive 12 million of those state passenger fees. And so we're using those state fees to advance some projects.
So I guess it's hard to figure out exactly where you are because money is coming from different places and going away in other places. And somehow you have to make it all work out. So this year, if you were to come up with a New Year's resolution for the city, what would it be?
I think my New Year's resolution for this year is to figure out how to finally get back to 2019. It'd be a lot like last year's New Year's resolution. I think figuring out how to move from pandemic to endemic, I think would be high on the list, and how to advance community goals. So, you know, we've got a lot of things in front of the assembly right now, kind of strategic moves. The assembly's considering, you know, whether we should move on the new city hall project. We've been doing public information on that. They're also looking at the Capital Civic Center project. And we've hired the new tourism manager to work on tourism growth issues. So we have a lot of issues that I would like us to be working on. I think the assembly would like that as well.
Well, COVID has been such a strange thing because it seems to go away and then it comes back with a vengeance. And of course, we've got the new Omicron variant. And I saw that the CDC recently warned people away from cruise ships because even though people were vaccinated, they were still having a lot of outbreaks of Omicron on cruise ships. So it seems like we head into 2022 with a lot of uncertainty as to where this pandemic is going to go.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So in 2021, while we and lots of communities across the country were seeing COVID numbers rise from the Delta variant, the cruise ships didn't have that problem. I mean, the cruise ships put in mandatory vaccination for virtually all of their passengers and crew, and they were able to control and contain any situations that arose. In 2022, with Omicron being much more contagious, I agree, it's a little bit more of a wild card. But at the end of the day, I think the cruise ship companies have the ability to maybe be a little sterner in their enforcement of what they're doing. I mean, they can dictate to their employees things like vaccine mandates and not face pushback from the public. Or they can tell their passengers, if you're not vaccinated, you're just not going to come. And I think as we all learn more about Omicron, I think a lot more information will be unfolding. I mean, certainly we're watching on the national news, the CDC guidance on Omicron, and everybody's trying to figure out, is it less virulent? And maybe it's actually going to be helpful. I think we just don't know. But with regard to next year's cruise ship season, you know, if you'd asked me 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago, I would have been very bullish on cruise ship passenger visitation next summer. And I can't claim that same stance today.
So you have had an interesting period these last 2 years. You have 1 year with no cruise ship traffic, and then you have 2021, which had some cruise ship traffic. So you got to see some interesting comparisons. What did you learn besides the fact that cruise ships and their passengers bring in a lot of money? But were there some interesting ways to look at our cruise ship picture by looking at those 2 years?
Well, one of the things that I think I don't fully understand is what's happening with our population and demographics. One of the things that I worry about is that we might be losing younger people. So I think natural for people to migrate out of the town that they grew up in. And I think over the years, we've replaced that because a lot of people, young people, look at Juneau and think, oh, that looks like a really fun place. Maybe I'll go there for the summer. And it's been really relatively easy to get summer employment in tourism. And I think during COVID, you know, we continued to have that out migration of younger people, but we didn't have the in-migration of new younger workers. So that's an open question for me, what our population looks like moving forward. I think with regard to, you know, the forever discussion about the pros and cons of cruise ship tourism, there are lots of arguments that people can genuinely make. You know, our town, our downtown and our business sector really has built itself around a heavy summer season. And if we don't have a heavy summer season, we're going to have different businesses moving forward. So I think that the long-term effects of people not starting new businesses for a couple years, I think, is probably pretty significant. So that's another interesting thing. And while on a really nice, warm, sunny day in June, you could have a quiet walk down the waterfront, it might be nice on that day, but that's not really sustainable. We built the waterfront with fees from cruise ship passengers, and we wouldn't have it. We won't be able to maintain it if we don't keep having cruise ship passengers. So I think there's a lot in there, a lot of interesting ways to look at the situation.
Well, it seems that the people that oppose the growing cruise ship traffic were kind of inspired by the year off to mount a campaign to ban cruise ships. And that petition drive didn't go anywhere, but people still felt that the city and borough did not follow through on looking at ways to make increased cruise ship traffic more manageable. And granted, when you don't have any cruise ship traffic for the moment, it makes more sense to put that issue on the back burner. But eventually it's going to come back. How to make things better for the people who don't like to see that traffic, but also balance it.
So we, prior to COVID, we had the Visitor Industry Task Force, a group of citizens meeting to advise the assembly on issues about tourism management. One of the things that they recommended was that we poll the public, and we did that this fall. And when we polled the public, you know, we generally found from the randomized survey that Juneau felt that the benefits were greater than the problems, fairly significantly, depending on how you wanted to slice and dice the information. The online poll was not the same. The online poll, which you could opt in and just give your opinion, raised more concerns. So more harm than good, maybe, is the summary of the online poll. Interestingly, both groups agreed that the city should do more to manage tourism. So that was kind of interesting. And I think
so they did have a common denominator.
The common denominator. Everybody thinks the city should do more. Then that's fine. I mean, maybe they could take that as a expression of confidence that maybe we can do more. We did recently hire the tourism manager, Alex Pierce, and so she just started. I'm very excited to have Alex on board, and that was also a recommendation from the Visitor Task Force. And the Visitor Task Force really recommended that we figure out how to achieve community goals through negotiation with the cruise ship industry, as opposed to trying to pass regulations. I think that was prudent advice. So I think you're going to see a lot more effort by CBJ to negotiate with cruise ship industry to meet some of those community goals. And there are a lot.
How do you see this new position working? What do you hope that person accomplishes?
I think it's going to evolve, and I think it will grow. So the number one feature of having a tourism manager is the recommendation from the Visitor Task Force was a centralized tourism function. We don't have that right now. So if somebody wanted to talk to somebody at the city about a tourism issue, you might call Docks and Harbors, you might call Parks and Recreation, you might call the manager's office, you might call community development. You know, if it was a capital project, you might call the engineering department. We have a very dispersed way that we deal with tourism issues. And I think that's been a problem. So I think the recommendation of centralizing that makes a lot of sense. So the tourism manager reports to the city manager. So, you know, not stuck between city departments. And I think over time, we're going to evolve the role of the tourism manager. We're just going to have to see what makes sense and how that works. I think the assembly is also going to have to spend a lot more time on tourism than it has in past years. It's going to take that sustained effort by the assembly to be involved and pay attention to tourism.
Well, there is so much going on right now, or potentially about to happen in the city of Juneau. And maybe one of the things we could talk about is some of the work that the Native organizations are doing. We have Sea Alaska Heritage Institute about to open a plaza, an arts school. Rosita Worrell, who's president of SHI, says that she wants to make Juneau the capital for Indigenous arts, not just for the state, but for the whole Pacific Northwest coast. And you also have Tlingit and Haida Central Council that just bought a great big office building. So they've expanded their footprint. So it almost seems like the lower part of downtown Juneau has more and more of a sort of a Native face to it.
Yeah, so Dr. Worrell is a true force of nature. She really is impressive in her vision and her follow through. So first with the Dr. Soboloff Center, you know, really magnificent building on Seward Street, and now across the street under construction, the Arts Campus. I mean, that's really, really spectacular. The vision of Juneau being the Pacific Northwest Coast Arts capital of the world, a country, or whatever, I think is super special. And the recent announcement by SHI receiving foundation grant money for totem poles on the waterfront is really, really exciting. So I've always enjoyed working with Dr. Worrell and her staff. And I think that's going to make for our waterfront to become even more special and unique. So it's very, very exciting. President Peterson over at Central Council, he's been growing that organization, you know, acquired some really interesting real estate. It's got a lot of employees to house, and I think that will make some more vibrancy in that part of downtown as well. So some really dynamic stuff happening during these COVID years.
Now, you've also talked about moving the Juneau Douglas City Museum over to the waterfront. That's an interesting idea. How viable do you think that is? And where would it go?
Well, it's an idea that I pitched, and it seemed like a decent idea. And I pitched it right before the start of COVID. Maybe we should move the museum to the waterfront and capitalize on cruise ship foot traffic so that it doesn't cost us operational funding and give the existing facility to the legislature. So I think it's still in the good idea phase, or maybe a good idea, depending on who you talk to. I think some people liked the idea, some people didn't. We haven't advanced that idea very much. But I think big picture, interesting ideas like that are, you know, it's good that we keep trying to find ways to move the community forward. So I think that idea will come back up.
So that's one of those big vision ideas that you have had. What about the project that's right in front of you to build a new city hall? Ultimately, how much money do you think that would save the city to consolidate everybody into one building, or at least in not as many buildings?
Right now, we've got employees in, I think, at least three or four lease spaces downtown, and then we own City Hall. And what people don't really realize is we pay something like $750,000 a year in rent, and we have been doing that my entire municipal career, and I've worked for the city for 28 years. And if instead of paying $750,000 in rent a year, we had just gone and built ourselves a city hall 30 years ago, we would own it. We wouldn't be paying that $750,000 a year in rent every year. The existing city hall, which we own, you know, started its life back in the 50s, and part of it was the fire station. The assembly chambers were the equipment base. That's where the fire trucks parked, in the assembly chambers. And so it's an old building and it needs work. There is no do nothing option. We either need to renovate the existing city hall, and we've got old roof, we've got old plumbing that's failing on us, we've probably got asbestos insulation and mastic in there, we've got rotten windows, we need to paint the building. It's pretty dog-eared. So we're sort of at the point in time where we either need to invest quite a bit of money in the existing building, or we need to pivot to a new idea. I like the new idea of a new city hall for several reasons. One We would get rid of that $750,000 of rent a year. And two, we would vacate space downtown, which would become housing. And that's one of our downtown goals, is to create more housing downtown. You know, depending on what we do, there have been ideas that maybe we should buy and renovate a building. President Peterson beat us to a really good option by buying the former DNR building. So, you know, he's a little lighter on his feet than we are. You know, there are other ideas like expanding on the Main Street parking garage, or maybe in the location of the former public safety building over next to the State Museum. We're going to be working that throughout this year. I think it's a good move if we get modern, efficient office space. Right now, we're kind of sprawled everywhere. And, you know, anybody who's ever been into my office, you know, they could look at it and be like, wow, you have a really big office with, like, I think it's a seven-sided office. It's a very funny shape. It's not very efficient. I think if we can work that process, that could be a very good strategic long-term move for the city that would save us money in the long run and create more housing downtown.
Despite COVID, the work continues, or maybe in spite of COVID.
Yeah, in spite of, I mean, even though COVID has been with us the last couple of years, you know, we continue to do all of the municipal things that we've always done. I mean, we continue to provide drinking water and deal with wastewater, and we build and maintain roads, and we plow roads. I know people want us to plow those roads a little bit more right now. This is pretty unusual circumstances. Our police department is out there every day. Our fire department and their EMTs are out there every day. Our parks and recreation functions are out there. All our branches of the public works department, you know, we just have to keep on functioning as a city. Our libraries are open, our museum is open. I mean, all that whole host of city activities, we just keep plugging away. And generally, the public is really, really supportive of our municipal services.
I heard that you are a rock climber in your spare time. if you have any spare time.
Yeah, not enough.
What are the life lessons of rock climbing that you apply to your job as city manager?
Well, rock climbing is a lot about problem solving. You have to be willing to accept some risk if you're going to rock climb. And if you can be methodical and focused, very, very enjoyable. I've certainly had a lot of fun this past year rock climbing, although I did fall and break my ankle in August. But I rebounded, and I was lucky enough to do some rock climbing over the holidays in Southern California, Joshua Tree National Park. But it provides me a good balance for my work life.
So in other words, you have to learn to manage risk, and that seems to be the challenge of 2022, managing risk?
Fair enough. You know, I don't think we live in a no-risk environment. That doesn't exist. If we tried to have no risk in life, we would have corresponding little enjoyment. I think you have to take some risks.
Rory Watt, manager for the City and Borough of Juneau, managing the risks and rewards while climbing out of a pandemic.